This episode of Lawyers Tell All is brought to you by the Intake Academy. Do you know how to cement relationships with more of your ideal clients, get them to commit to you, and send you more referrals than you ever thought possible? Visit www.intakeacademy.com, where you will get the strategies you need to make the most of your marketing and advertising dollars. Plus, develop a team of intake specialists and attorneys who convert more qualified case opportunities and build meaningful relationships with prospective clients. Welcome to the Lawyers Tell All podcast. We're Chris Mullins, the preeminent sales and communications consultant in the legal industry, shows you how it looks through lawyers' eyes. Here, innovators in the trenches provide powerful insights that help you connect with new clients, handle the sometimes harsh realities of the legal profession, and embrace the mindsets needed to succeed. Be sure to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, lean in, tune in, and let's take a deep dive.
Everyone, it's Chris Mullins with Lawyers Tell All and my special guest, Joe Bravo. And I'm going to let Joe talk to you a little bit about himself. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Joe Bravo. I'm an attorney, but I'm a different type of attorney. I'm an attorney from offshore. I work in the legal industry. I've been working at this for about three to close to 4 years now. I'm stoked to be here. 34 years old, fluent in more than one language. I am bald, if you're just like intrigued about my aspect, if you're just an audiophile. But I'm here and ready to have a nice chat with Chris.
Why don't you continue a little bit more about what you do?
Okay, so let me tell you about the business that we're in and the type of people that we work with. We are part of a company that's called Get Staffed Up. Well, I am part of a company that's called Get Staffed Up. And I say we because immediately when I think about the company, I think about the whole team. There's about 200 of us helping and assisting law firms and lawyers get staffed up all across North America. So we have law firms that work with us in the U.S. That's the most of our clients, but we also have clients that work with us from Canada. The type of work that we do is we find and assist onboarding incredible offshore virtual talent to work at your firms for a full-time position. So that's 40 hours a week, 8 hours a day in your time zone. That's like the core aspect of the business. We staff very essential administrative and sometimes marketing positions, of course. So when you think about having a receptionist, an intake specialist, when you think about having people assisting you on marketing, legal assistance, executive assistance, or just your overall personal assistant, that's the type of people that we find to work with you. And, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, before I got into this line of business, before I got into this type of work, I used to work as a consultant for many different firms and businesses. And I would get to see how businesses grow, but when I started working at Get Staffed Up, I started looking at how law firms grow and how a law firm is not necessarily a business, but I do look at people trying to turn it into a business and not trying, doing it successfully. And turns out that it's all about that first hire. And you know, it kind of makes a lot of sense because if you want to grow a team and you want to grow a business, you need to add people to it. But from a perspective of how do I grow my own business, which I've been in that position as well, it's very interesting to notice that people tend to want to do everything by themselves, or at least all of the important things, all of the things that they consider to be crucial or absolutely important for them to perform, when in reality, in order to grow a business, you need to add people to it, not necessarily add more complex tasks to your plate. It's more like delegating. You need to get rid of the things that you should not be doing and focus on the things that are meant to grow a business while everything else is already being taken care of. And we've managed to find people that are incredibly talented to help you on that journey, to take care of those things that you shouldn't be doing, that you should be focusing on those $1,000 per hour, $10,000 per hour type of tasks that business owners tend to focus in. So I'm in a very privileged position to be part of that movement, part of that growth. And it's been, like I've mentioned before, 3 years now running to four. And it's been an amazing journey, not to say the least.
Joe, I'm sorry, Joe, sorry to pause you for a second. Tell me a little bit, tell everybody a little bit, like you're an attorney, but how did the attorney journey start?
Mm-hmm.
And then how did that go from where you are right now and then go into you, Joe Bravo, work life balance?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's an interesting question because right now I think I'm closer to working in the line of business that I've always wanted to work with than when I started my career at legal school or at law school, because I need to point out the differences. I am an attorney, but I am an attorney from offshore. That means I'm a lawyer in my country. I'm the type of people that we get you staffed up with that I came here to represent, right? But when I went to law school, when I started studying to become an attorney, is because, and this is something that I've also found in many of the people that I've interviewed with, especially attorneys, of course, there was something in my life that wasn't fair. There was something happening with my family that my mom was being taken advantage of in a very big real estate development deal. And she was pretty much guilty without knowing that she was guilty of several crimes, because the construction company was taking advantage of her being too naive and way too trusting. So my mom pretty much had one foot already in jail and she was not even aware of it. And it was at a very fragile economical moment in our lives when that happened. So it's not like she could afford a lot of attorneys. It's not like she could afford a case even. She had no idea what she was into, and she thought it was a big business about to come through, and a lot of people was going to be happy about it. We're going to be happy about it, but in the end, it didn't work out like that. Turns out that she was getting she was left out. She was very much excluded. She was the one person that was meant to be guilty on all of the different frauds that were happening in that development deal. And it was thanks to an attorney that when he met her, he said that it wasn't fair, that what was happening was not meant to be, it was not meant for her. It was completely unjust. That type of thing should not happen. And he took it upon himself to defend my family, to defend my mom, to defend part of my heritage. And I was looking for what type of person do I want to become right at that time. So it struck a chord in me, it struck a chord with me, just realizing that there are good people fighting a good cause out there. And it inspired me, honestly. It told me the type of person that I wanted to become. So then I thought, or I figured, hey, I'm going to go to law school. I paid my way through law school. I paid my way through college. I got myself scholarships. I worked as much as I could. I really enjoyed the studying aspect of it. And then I told myself, if I'm able to do what was done for my mom and my family just once, then my entire law school career is worth it. And then I started doing it. I started working with several justice systems in this country, which is Mexico, or Mexico. And I realized how broken the system truly was. And I know this is something that might sound familiar to many attorneys. Like, nobody told me that being a lawyer was very different from what they taught me at law school. But, and also there comes the difference between being a law firm owner and being a business owner. But over here, I was familiar with how corrupt, slow, and disturbingly unfair the justice system really was. But when I started dealing with it, I started hitting a lot of frustration because I noticed that the corrupt are the ones that actually move forward in many of the cases, in most of the cases. And that just couldn't fly with me because I'm kind of a perfectionist. So if I'm thinking 2 + 2 = 4, meaning if I present this specific type of proof and I have this specific type of argument, and if the law is on my side, then it should all work out. But not even when you have a perfect case does that happen. Like, things move differently over here. The justice system is very different. So I decided to make an impact on people's lives in a very different way, because to me it was, I need to make an impact on someone else's lives. If I'm going to work 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 70 hours a week, yeah, I can do that, but it has to have meaning. So I had my own business. I had my own consulting firm. We helped businesses grow. We started setting ourselves up to become completely remote, and we got there before the pandemic hit. But then, because you did ask, how did I transition from law school to being maybe a businessman to now being part of Get Staffed Up? The pandemic was some sort of like a curse and a blessing in disguise, because even if we were already set up to work completely remote, that didn't mean that clients in Mexico, companies in Mexico, were ready for that. And the pandemic just really created a big opportunity for everything that was remote. But at the same time, it didn't. It created an opportunity for me because it introduced me to Get Staffed Up. And then I started meeting attorneys that had the same purpose in life, whether it is to build a very successful business, which is something that I've come to admire after working many years as a consultant, and also doing what's right for others and by others, and not necessarily like fighting everything in a big trial, or sometimes fighting everything in big trials and winning, or just negotiating and getting, you know, a fair deal for everybody that's involved. There's no necessity for dragging things out and making things incredibly painful and costly. And I started meeting people that believe in that. Then I realized that not only me, but people like me could become part of that cause. I found home. And then realizing that this is something that you can do completely remote from my computer. Honestly, when I first heard the idea, when somebody first pitched me the idea of working like this, I thought it was a scam. I thought it was a lie. I had no idea that working virtually was possible. But lo and behold, now law firms in the U.S. don't want to go back to being face-to-face, at least not 100%, because it's way more productive. You save a lot of your time. You save a lot of your energy. And that brings me to the last segment or section of your question, which is, do I believe I've achieved balance? I think I had it before. When the pandemic hit, it really shook me to my core. And then I got it back real easy, real quick, because I already had a very specific dynamic in life when it came to my nutrition, when it came to how many hours of sleep I get, when it came to the type of interactions that I have with people, how do I invest my time? And then honestly, working remotely, and I know many lawyers at the beach that have this sensation as well, it gives you the opportunity to balance your work and your life. It's not that, this is my personal view, I do not believe that they're separate. I think it's me in my professional life and me in my personal life, but finding a way to be at peace with both and progressively growing at both at the same time, yeah, I believe I've achieved that, or at least performing those exercises as we speak. So I am very happy where I'm at.
So tell me two things. What does your mom think about your career path and right now what you're doing, it gets staffed up? And then also, how do you feel, like really feel as a man working at Get Staffed Up?
Well, it is impressive. I can, well, that's a very good question, because right now there's a lot of things happening at the company. There's a lot of big changes, big things. And to me, that's gotten me very excited. And that's, so I'm going to try to answer both of your questions at the same time, because right now there's a big thing happening at GSU. We are trying to become better at every single thing that we do, because we already have a consolidated team, and we already have consolidated teams to get the results that we are used to getting. But now that you have everybody that you need, like the right person on the right seat, I love the way that our co-founders are paying attention and paying special care to the business itself, because there's a lot of people behind this. There's 200 people on the internal team. So that's 200 families being impacted. And there's more than 1,000 people already working together between attorneys and VAs, or virtual assistants, nearshore staff, however you want to call it. There's very talented people from other countries that can assist where you need assistance with, and they can help you grow. Like, there's some very interesting synergy and dynamic happening internationally and in the West, because I view it as that, like, there is a very huge necessity of leadership in the West. And when I look at business leaders, and honestly, when I look at attorneys and the business owners, because we don't only work with attorneys, it is our niche, but we do work with different people too. And when I look at their core values, their value system, the way that they do business, the way that they structure things, how they treat their personnel, even if it's remote, it's a beautiful dynamic. Again, like, at first, if you told me this existed, I would have told you you were kidding me, because who can work virtually and from a computer, like in the comfort of your own home? Well, yeah, 90% of the stuff that you do is in a computer. So you just take it a little bit further away, and thanks to the currency exchange rate, then maybe there's something very interesting that you can do with people near shore. So I'm very excited with what's happening right now with the company, because as I mentioned before, the right person in the right seat, but now we're getting very advanced tools. A lot of trust is in this, and there's a lot of dedication I see. And I've had the pleasure of meeting people on both ends of that spectrum. So both the people who are working near shore remotely, I am familiar with many of them, and also the people in the US and people from Canada, clients of us, and I've met like clients, VAs, all of us together in the same space. Again, it's a very different dynamic. It's like its very own business and economical bubble happening all in the digital space. And what my mom thinks about that is that she's not only proud, but she's also excited, because I get to share like what I see from other places, what I learn from other businesses. And she just views this and recognizes this the same way that I do, as a huge growth opportunity. My mind is continuously being blown by all of the different advancements that we're currently getting in this line of work, in this industry. So I can confirm that everybody's stoked. Everybody that's got their heart and their minds in this, we are stoked about what's going on right now.
So perfect. What, tell me, Joe, like, about you though, not get staffed up. So you, because, you know, at the beginning of the conversation, you talked about your mom, you talked about the reason for becoming an attorney. You have a lot of values and morals and integrity and what you think and do right, drilling all the way down, is so critical to you as a person, as an individual, as a man. So sounds like you've arrived. It sounds like it. I could be wrong, but it sounds like you've arrived, and the arrival is you've landed, it gets staffed up. That's what it feels and sounds like. So let's put that aside and then tell me what is this like for you? What do you feel and what do you think? Like, you wake up, like, what happens for you when you're alone at night? What are you thinking about as far as being fulfilled from everything that you said at the beginning of the conversation?
Well, keep one thing in mind though, that bubble that I talked about, which I believe it's its very own socio-political, economical bubble, which is very important, and it's going to come into play in a little bit. I honestly feel that I'm in a good moment in my life. And that depends, like, for me to feel good about something, it depends on so many different things. It depends on my diet. It depends on my habits. It depends on the level of commitment that I'm bringing to every single aspect of my life. My work is one way of gauging if I'm doing things correctly or not. You hit a very interesting chord there. And I know that you're good at talking to people and noticing things in there, because when you talked about the value system, yeah, 100%, that's it. That's it for me. For me, there has to have value. There has to have morals with it. There has to come ethics with it. For me, it's very important to do the right thing, especially in a world that is constantly going crazy and crazier. For me, it's very important to feel and to know that I'm doing right by others as well. That's an important metric for me. So a day in my life, which one of the good things that I like about working remotely and working in a different time schedule, is that I get to wake up early in the morning and exit early in the afternoon. So I wake up at 5 a.m., sometimes 4:30 a.m. I stretch myself. I do another maybe 30 minutes to an hour of yoga because I do got a chronic back injury. So pain is never going to go away. But to me, that's important because if I overdo it in any single way, I don't take pain medication. So if I overdo anything, I feel it right away. If I were to take pain medication, then I would probably not realize that I'm hurting myself. So that to me is very important. I constantly rehab my body, my mind, my emotions. And that early morning yoga session tells me a lot about myself because it shows me if my mind is pretty much all over the place or if I'm actually able to focus on doing one thing. For example, earlier today, I was doing this pose, which is called the shoelace pose. And it's very hard on the hip. And I got a back injury that's directly kinetic to that hip. It's the posterior chain link, which is like the whole thing is affected. So I got to hold the pose for a couple of minutes. And then I'm thinking to myself, like halfway in, dude, your mind is all over the place. You're super distracted. Focus. Go back to your breathing. And then I start realizing, like, dude, this pose that you're doing is actually pretty painful. So it's kind of okay if my mind is going one place or another. But realizing that I'm able to pull myself back in, that level of concentration and practice, I'd like to take it pretty much everywhere. I'd like to start my day like that. I like to work like that. I like to work out like that. I like to, whenever my day is off or is over, I'd like taking the mentality of I'm doing something that feels right, that is okay by me. And again, it's got to be okay by others. Mm-hmm. So back to this, where I'm at as a man, as an individual, this moment in my life, this very unique bubble that we're in because of this line of business has given me an opportunity to also become part of something that's bigger than me. So now I don't think politics just in my country, I'm thinking the entire West. And at the same time, to disconnect out of that, because right now there's a lot of tension happening in many different spheres. There's a lot of tension in the international sphere. Elections coming up in my country as well. Things are happening in my life as well, in my personal life as well, in my business life as well. All of that's happening. But at the same time, it's not like I'm directly impacted by every single thing that happens in there. I live in a very unique space, let's call it a digital bubble, that if I put that into perspective, I'm also able to choose the level of commitment and concentration that I bring to the game. So that's why that very important first morning yoga session, or maybe it's just how I wake up and look at the world and how I wake up and look at the issues, because I don't always do yoga, although I really like it. Mm-hmm. So I do feel maybe I haven't gotten there. I wouldn't say that I'm there yet, but I honestly believe I'm on the right path and I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track to that. Yes.
Okay, so whenever I say, have you arrived or you have arrived, it's always interesting the responses that you get. So tell me this, you do triathlons, right?
Oh, yeah.
So talk about that. Talk about your triathlon. No.
That is an interesting dynamic because every sport that I think every person that really gets into a very a sport, let's call it paddle, triathlon, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people say that it's a very jealous sport. So right now I'm picking up golf, for example. And one of my best friends has been coaching me from at a distance. And he told me, oh, it's a very jealous sport. The moment that you stop doing it, you stop practicing for 3 weeks and it's like you're new again. Yeah, that applies to biking, to running, to swimming, to fighting, to mixed martial arts, to pretty much everything that I know. It's like honing your craft. The thing about triathlon is that it's three different sports at the same time. So it's for those of us that are, you need a lot of energy for that, or you got to have a lot of anxiety and know how to channel it properly. It gave me a lot of structure. It gave me some of my best habits, some of my best relationships, some of my best friends came from there. It's given me a different perspective into this world and into the business world as well, because I tend to notice, if you have enough time to punch in five triathlons per year, or maybe you got yourself an Ironman or a half an Ironman there, that means you're training at least 2, sometimes 3 hours per day. So you better have your house in order for that, or I can just imagine you're super good at sports, but you must suck as a teammate or as a life partner or as a friend. So to me, triathlon, because it's so many different things put together at the same time, is, yeah, it is swimming, but you got to take like classes for, to learn how to swim. And it is biking, but there are many different types of bikes out there. And it is running, but you can track and you can go for distance or you can go for speed, whatever you want. You got to have a balanced life. Otherwise, you can look very selfish while practicing.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that when people tend to begin at this sport, it looks like you're very self-centered, like it's all me, me, me. And that does tend to happen. It does tend to show a lot in the competitive mindset, especially when you're gunning for first, second, or third place. But I've also happened to meet with, I've met with people and a lot of them US attorneys as well, that it's part of their routine, not the most important aspect in their lives. And that's how I'm addressing it.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, to close it up, I have this one dream because I do really like exercising and living a healthy lifestyle. And to me, exercise, and it's not just for me, guys, like exercise has been proven to actively work against depression, among many other things. So whatever you want to call it, yoga, Pilates, calisthenics, triathlon, jogging, pool, bowling, something that involves you doing something physical about things, especially in a digital world right now. It's given me a lot of great habits, and it's taught me one of my lifelong dreams. If I get to live for when I'm 80, I'd love to be able to get just up in the morning, wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go for a 10-mile run. And being able to do it, come back from it, and nothing, come back with it with no pain from it. So I'm constantly building my joints. I'm not pushing myself to the limit. I'm training myself for the long run. So a lot of health. And that's one of the good things that I love about triathlon, because it does force you to try different things. And there's so much that you can pick up out of all of those. For me, that dream of I want to go running when I'm 80 and not for my knees not to pain me after that, or at least not for it to hurt for an entire week after that, I think I can get there. Yeah,
I think you can too. And so like when we talk about triathletes, I'm a triathlete, I've done four of them and, you know, done 100-mile cycling and 30-mile ultra runs and all of that. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because, you know, the passion and the energy and the focus and the discipline you need, never mind, like even, you know, your placement when you win or however you do it, not even that, just to get to do it and show up is huge. And it takes a lot of passion and really be present and being focused. Like when you're pedaling, how are you pedaling? Is it going in the right direction? Is it moving? Is it too slow? Is it too fast? Are you getting stuck? You know, what's all those details. So how do people get that same feeling that don't do sports and bring it to their job day in and day out, and have that passion and that energy and that focus and that presence to be that good at the sport of work day in and day out? What would be your answer to that?
I think it's all about the type of results that you get, the level of effort that you put into things and the results. Because, you know, it's funny. I was talking about this with one of my teammates earlier today. So we were discussing health and health benefits and exercise. And I started talking about the first time I started cycling. And I don't know if you remember yours, but to me, like I used to run and I thought I was a big runner because I could run for an entire hour without getting tired. Yeah, I wasn't running fast though. One of the first things that my coach told me, like, dude, you're not running, you're walking. This is running. So there comes that level of discipline. Like you need to start demanding way more from yourself than you did, because you go at it way too easy. So the first time I went biking, I remember that after 30 minutes, I couldn't breathe. And I thought I had the lungs for it. I was in shape. I wasn't like in the best shape of my life. I believe right now I'm in the best shape of my life. Even with an injury and everything, I think I take good care of myself, and that's important. Discipline teaches you that, or at least discipline at sports teaches you that. So how can you transfer that to the line of business? Well, that example for me was clear. 30 minutes in, and I felt like somebody was compressing my chest. I couldn't breathe. But after 1 month, that feeling went away. And after 1 year, I started becoming good at it. So it's because I put in a lot of effort and I started feeling the results. And maybe that's why maybe it's easier to exercise than to give it your best at your line of work, which I hope it's not the case out there. But when you're putting a lot of effort, when you're exercising, you feel the results. You feel them immediately. If you hit the gym today, you're going to feel it tonight. And if you start something new tomorrow and keep at it, you're going to become proficient at it after a while. And you're going to be able to see that result. And other people are going to be able to see those results with you. So the level of effort that you bring to the game, and now I'm talking business, but you know this can apply pretty much everywhere. The level of effort that you bring to the game, how constant you're with things, like, you know, consistency is key. You're going to start feeling, you're going to start seeing, and people around you are going to start recognizing the effort and the results that you're getting from that level of commitment, that level of energy that you're bringing to the game. So I wouldn't say you have to work out in order to get great results at your job. You have to give it your best. And that's about it. Like that's the thing in life. Life is not easy. Hell no. Oh, no, not by a long shot. So why go easy? Go big. You can now go big and go home, or go big while you're at home. Go big and you'll get big results.
Yeah. So I have a coach that I meet. I have a couple of coaches, but I have a coach that I meet with every week, and she's a Navy SEAL coach. And so she's my coach, and we meet once a week, every single week. And we work on nutrition and head stuff and training. And which, by the way, I will tell everybody that there's always going to be a consequence for everything, right? When there's a consequence, you do things more. You do what you said you were going to do for the most part. I mean, the consequence could be your own, you know, mindset too. It could be anything. But her consequence is if I don't quite hit it with one of my goals that I'm supposed to hit every week, I have to add 15 minutes to my training routine, and I have to do 10 burpees in front of my camera and send her the video via text.
If not, it doesn't count.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, what's your consequence, everybody? What is it? What is your consequence? But the other thing I'm saying too, that Melanie and I talk about, is she talks about the witness, and the witness mindset is more like the witness is you watching you, day in and day out. And most people get that, but maybe that's another thing that we can do, is we can think about, what's my witness seeing every day, moment by moment, when I just got in my chair, when I walked out the door, when I got on the phone with somebody, when I'm talking to my kids. What's my witness seeing? And is that what I want my witness to see?
Yeah, you know what? That internal dialogue, that internal monologue, you hit it head in the head. Head in the nail. So for me, it's one of the things that I do, you know, whenever I get a chance to. I don't do it every day. And it would be scary to do it every day, but it would be interesting as well. When I go to sleep, or I'm at a break, or I'm at one of those moments like reflecting in life, trying to get a moment of clarity, I do ask myself, what is that one thing that you're not doing, or that you should be doing that you're not doing, or that you should stop doing, or that if you start doing, you're going to get amazing benefits out of it, but you know that you're putting it away. You know that you're turning the other cheek. And you know what? Whenever I ask myself that question, I immediately get an answer. My witness is always there. And to me, it's very important, because if I start scolding myself, one out of two things are happening. Either I'm being too harsh on myself and I need to like take a closer look into that, because not everything should be barked at and destroyed at, or I'm playing dumb and I shouldn't be. Not in this day and age. Like, what's the point of being a grown adult if you can't take personal responsibility in your life? Like, you're not grown at all if you don't do that. So if you don't ask those type of questions, if I don't invite my witness to have an honest conversation with me, then what the hell am I doing, right?
100%. So, Joe, what else would you like everybody to know about you?
Well, if you ever want to strike up a conversation, I hope you know where to find me. I have an active presence on LinkedIn, so it's easy to find me. Just look for Joe Bravo. I'm the bald guy that never shuts up. I love interviewing with people. I love talking to people. I love knowing the cause behind what you do. I really admire working with attorneys, with legal professionals, with everybody on this field that's doing things either in-house or remote. Just leave the option for remote so that we can connect. Find me at joe.bravo. Well, you can email me at joe.bravo@getstaffedup.com. And one of the last things that I would like to encourage everybody listening, and I mean this with, of course, the utmost respect and the best intentions behind this, always, always. Find that one thing, that one physical activity that brings you health and joy into your life. Because, of course, your line of business, yeah, that's key. I'm taking it for granted. Like, you're supposed to work at something that you like. So yeah. Once you have that in the bag, mm-hmm. there is no better nourishment for the soul, for the body, for the mind, for the spirit, than having that one physical activity that you truly enjoy and that allows you to decompress a lot of the stuff that pretty much adds up a lot of pressure on life. I've always told my friends, whenever somebody tells me, oh, I'm going to start at the gym, and they know, like, I'm a sports kind of junkie, but not at the same time. I do have my limits. I like being with other people, not only talking about sports, but I do tell them, find the one thing that you'd love going to the gym for, because I hate going to the gym. It's boring. I really don't enjoy it. But now I go because I build myself for that. Mm-hmm. That's where I hone my craft. It's the same thing when I'm taking courses for my job, or it's the same thing when I'm taking any type of certifications for my life. Mm-hmm. Own yourself and you're going to enjoy it. Maybe that's how I found the little balance, I think it's a lot of balance that I have in my life. I found the things that I like doing and I'm consistent at them. So I wish for anybody to do the same, especially now in a digital world where I noticed when pre-pandemic, I used to do everything sitting up and moving my hands and talking with big audiences. Now I do the same thing while sitting down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Coming sedentary, yeah, it really changes the way even the body functions. So get up, move around a little, you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, 100%. And I will say to everybody that I have a handful of clients that I've referred to get staffed up, primarily focusing on intake specialists. And, you know, it's been a great experience and the relationship is a good experience. And then, of course, when they get their virtual assistants, the intake specialists on board, we at Intake Academy train them. So it's all been good. But the other thing I want to say, that I might sound like a small thing, but, you know, if Get Staffed Up has 200 team members, well, then I guess that's proof in the pudding that it works, right? Because Get Staffed Up is doing what they're providing for you. It's the same thing. So I just wanted to say that really quick. Joe, how can everybody get in touch with you?
Again, you can find me email joe.bravo@getstaffedup.com. If you want to send a message or something, you can also find me on LinkedIn as Joe Bravo. And if you ever just want to pick up a phone and give me a call, because I know that the phone is important right now in this podcast, my line is 786-870-4427. All right. It's going to be a pleasure meeting you guys.
All right. Good enough. Thanks, Joe. So long, everybody. Lawyers Tell All. We'll see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lawyers Tell All, where Chris Mullins takes you on a journey with lawyers in the trenches who show you the realities of what it takes to succeed in this chaotic, crowded, ever-changing profession. remember to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on Lawyers Tell All.